This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson again today. Again, we hope the program will encourage you, challenge you, and bless you. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. BDC Ministries is lowercase and all one word. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there, and the program can be re-listened to there. It can be downloaded if you've got a computer and passed on to others. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, we'd be happy to take prayer requests or comments on the program. And that address again, postal address, is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, we've been looking at prominent women in the Bible. In some cases, and today will be a case in point, they maybe wouldn't be considered prominent, but they are, in my mind, to be considered important. And one of the reasons I've enjoyed going through the Bible and looking at women and the impact that they have made on what we believe and the impact they have made on how we believe it. In many cases, they are examples to us of what a true worshiper ought to be. I've enjoyed going through this because oftentimes we look at women as being second-class citizens in Christianity. And one of the criticisms of the Judeo-Christian tradition is that women have to take a back seat to men. And people have a misunderstanding about the relationship of function and value. Just because there are different functions doesn't mean that in God's eyes there's a different value. And women had different functions in the Bible than men, but they had the same value. God did so love the world, and that included women, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I think we've really seen the value of women when we look at Mary Magdalene and when we look at Mary of Bethany. Those two in particular really strike me as devoted worshipers of the Lord. Mary Magdalene, we've looked at, and she had seven demons cast out of her. And as a result of that, she apparently followed the Lord and ministered to him of her substance, and she was the first one, as we noted in our last program, she was the first one to be, or it's not the last program, but 2 weeks ago, she was the one who was first at the tomb, and she was the first one to see the Lord after he'd been raised from the dead, and she was the first one who told the disciples, who had also been at the tomb and left believing that his body had been stolen away, she was the first one to tell them she had seen the Lord, and she was the first one to not be believed. And so there's a tendency for us to not want to be confused with the facts when our minds are already made up. But Mary Magdalene, Mary of Bethany, even Martha, the true servant of God, these are key people in the story having to do with the ministry of the Lord. And I just want to encourage women to believe that God sees you as important. And even though your function in the scriptures is different than that of a man, your value is not different. Your value is the same. That is, you are precious in the sight of the Lord. And I hope that you understand that. And these women were very devoted to the Lord. Today I want to look at two women that we don't think about too often. One of their names is Phoebe, and the other is Priscilla. Now, I know some people that have named their children Phoebe, and probably they've done it because of this passage in Romans chapter 16 that I'm going to read to you. I probably wouldn't use Phoebe as the name for a woman, but or of one of my daughters, but I appreciate those who have used that name. However, I also want to look at a woman by the name of Priscilla. And that name has been used by people that I know to name their daughters. As a matter of fact, I have a sister who was named Priscilla. And these were, again, people that we ought to know something about when it comes to the story of the gospel and the way in which the gospel spread after the Lord was raised from the dead. And so I want to read you from Romans chapter 16, verse 1, starting at verse 1, where Paul says, "I commend to you Phoebe, our sister." Now he's writing to them at Rome. And he says, "I commend you, Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Kenchrea, Apparently, Phoebe was leaving Kenkri to go to Rome. And Kenkri, if I understand it, was a port associated with the city of Corinth. And so she was leaving this assembly, this church at Kenkri, to travel to Rome. And Paul apparently knew enough about her that he could commend her to them so that when she came, she would be accepted and not be, that there would be no question about her reality in that day. Now, keep in mind that in that particular day, if you claim to be a Christian, you very well were going to be persecuted for it. I don't know why people think that if they could stamp out Christianity, both the Jews and the Romans seem to think they could stamp out Christianity by stamping out the people that claim to be Christians. And why they would even want to do that is beyond me, because Christians normally are good citizens with regard to a country. Rome would have found them to be good citizens. I think the Roman Caesars found them in to be good soldiers. So why would you want to stamp them out? And the only answer I can give to you is that Satan is real, and Satan is determined to destroy anything that honors the Lord Jesus Christ. And a person who comes to faith in the Lord Jesus and is saved from the penalty that they deserve because of their sin, that person's been lost to Satan. But he's not going to cease persecuting them and trying to get them to turn away with regard to their faithfulness to the Lord who loved them and gave himself for them. So he says, I commend you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant. And the word servant here is a minister, and it's the word that's often used as for deacons. So she's a deaconess, a minister of the church in Kenkri, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. And the word helper in the King James Version, I'm reading from the New King James, but in the King James Version, the word helper is a succorer. So that is, she's come along and relieved somebody when they have a problem when they are distressed. She has relieved that distress for them, and it's in that sense she's been a helper of many. And Paul says, of myself also. And so this woman was worthy of she had a good reputation, was worthy of the commendation of Paul as she was traveling to an assembly where she was not known. Now, in my circles, in years gone by, we did try to have people that were traveling from one area to another. We did try to have them carry letters of commendation. It was often misused because the letter of commendation often came from people that were not known to the assembly where the person was being commended to. When they were traveling, they weren't known. And sometimes in the assembly where they were traveling, there would be people that would know them better than the people who had signed the letter of commendation. But letters of commendation in the Bible are, in fact, scriptural. We really don't have the right to receive everybody just because they say they're a Christian. If we do that, we may very well be opening ourselves up to some real problems, because there are those who want to destroy local assemblies. They want to destroy the testimony of Christians, and so they will pretend to be Christians when they're not. And so it's well to make sure that you know that the person who's coming is in fact a committed Christian who has truly trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you remember when Paul got saved, there's a point where he tried to join himself to those who were in Jerusalem. And it says he essayed to join himself to those who were in Jerusalem, and they didn't want to accept him. Well, why not? He had been committing people to prison. He had been destroying Christians. He had been an enemy of Christianity. And so they were afraid of him in Jerusalem. But Barnabas came alongside and commended him to the church at Jerusalem. Actually, he was the one who told them that Paul was real and that he had been defending the truth of the gospel in Damascus after he had gotten saved, and that they could, in fact, receive him and depend upon him, that there had been a real change in his life. But if he hadn't had Barnabas available to do that for him, the church at Jerusalem would very likely not have allowed him to become a part of their congregation and to have fellowship there, because they would have been concerned that he would have been a traitor to their cause. So I realize things are somewhat different today, but it's always well to have somebody who knows you and who knows where you're traveling to. It's always well to have them commend you if they know that you are a person who is going to be a help and a blessing to the Christians in the area where you're traveling. And that's exactly what Paul was doing here when he commends Phoebe from Kenchre to Rome. As a matter of fact, we look at that Roman epistle and we enjoy it because of all of the gospel, its doctrine that's being taught to us there. But in fact, that Roman epistle is really first and foremost a letter of commendation for Phoebe. And along with the letter of commendation, Paul knows she's going to be carrying this letter to Rome, and so uses it as an opportunity to encourage them and explain the gospel as it applies to Gentiles to that church at Rome. He's writing to the Roman church, and so he explains the doctrines of the gospel, and it's one of the most beautiful doctrinal explanations of the gospel that you could have. And Hebrews is an explanation of the gospel to the Hebrews. Well, this is an explanation to Rome, but really he used the fact that Phoebe would be traveling to Rome as an excuse to write this gospel. So Phoebe was a servant, and as a result of calling her a servant, there are some people who think that because in the Bible it talks about elders and deacons, and it has become kind of a formal position in many churches to have elders and deacons, they think that women should be deacons. And I'm not going to go into the pros and cons of that. I think women should be ministers. They should teach other women, but they are not the ones who are to publicly preach and publicly teach in a local congregation of Christians. And I know that's not acceptable today, but that's what the Bible says, and I stand by what the Bible says. And so there's a question about what was she a formal deacon, a named deacon, whatever that means in the church at Kenchre. And I just doubt very much that she had the position of a deacon that we read about in Timothy and Titus, those epistles, when they lay out the qualifications of those people, because in those qualifications it seems as though they're talking about males, and other scriptures would tend to indicate that males would probably be the ones who would be taking that kind of a lead in an assembly. But just because she doesn't have a formal title of a deacon with a capital D doesn't mean she can't be a valuable minister, and that she can't be helping in the preaching of the gospel and making sure that people that are in need have their needs met. And that was often the case with women. They helped make sure that needs were being met. We'll look at a woman by the name of Dorcas later on. And Dorcas was one whose good deeds were such that she helped have the needs of people met through her good works. So I think Phoebe is an important person in the Bible. She's obviously one who has come to faith in the Lord Jesus. She's one who has proven it by her service to Kenchre, and now she's going to be going to Rome, and she's going to be serving there. And Paul says, "Receive her, and make sure that you use her. She's going to be a blessing to you." And wouldn't it be nice if it could be said that all of us were going to be a blessing to those people where we are going. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon thy word, upon those who have listened. We trust that all who are listening know what it means to be saved. We give thanks for thy salvation in our Savior's name. Amen.